This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm glad that you are here so that we can do that together as God's family and as God's people. As we begin worship, I do hope that you'll take bulletins home so that you have the prayer list and also so that you have mention of those things going on. Also know that when worship's over at the Mardi Gras table, you can't miss it. It's on the left, and it looks like Mardi Gras. We have tickets on sale. But more than anything, as I mentioned Mardi Gras, which will be here before we know it, is make sure you tell your friends to buy a raffle ticket, even if they don't go to the event. You don't have to be present to win. But if you do win, $3,000 credit with a travel agency. It's really a good deal. And so tell people about that. Also, the preschool, the PELC, will be sponsoring a baby palooza. What they're doing is collecting items for the Women's Pregnancy Center. And you'll hear a lot more about that next week. On the prayer list, we're going to need to add Miss Sheila Griffith. She's always done the nursery care during worship. She fell this week. She broke her arm, and she's probably going to have surgery on her knee. She'll find that out this week. But she really got banged up. We do have nursery care over there today, thanks to our helper and Happy. And we will see to it that we have it next week. But I ask that you keep Miss Sheila in your prayers. Also, the Maxwell's granddaughter has a circulatory issue. And so she, in 2 weeks, is going to have surgery on one leg to reroute the circulation to the foot. And then probably 2 weeks later, another surgery for the other leg, which has the same problem. I know that they would love and covet your prayers. We also have Austin Grimes that is getting procedures done in Houston for his ear, and I ask that you keep that in your prayers as well. So we've got the prayer list and those people on it so that there's plenty to pray for in the days ahead. Also today, we're going to have our annual meeting primarily to do two things, elect officers and approve the budget for next year. So I'm glad that you're here so that we can do that at the conclusion of worship. But if you would you take the peace that is ours in Jesus Christ and share that peace with one another? You know, as I was asking for prayer requests, I also wanted to mention our administrator, Sue Young. She has knee replacement tomorrow. She'll be out for this week, obviously, so keep Sue in your prayers also. Anyway, as I said, may the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. Join me, please, in the call to worship. For we are here today because the weeping Mary of Magdala once said, "I have seen the Lord." We're here like doubting Thomas, who finally declared, "My Lord and my God." We're here because of Jesus, who asks us face to face, "Do you truly love me?" We are here as a congregation today because many disciples have listened to Jesus' words, "Do not be afraid, go and tell." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our provider, our maker, and our protector, we know it's through your goodness that we are alive and healthy enough to gather and worship you this very day. We praise you for all that you have given us, and we thank you in Jesus' name, who is for us our life and our salvation. Holy Lord, we commit all of our good deeds to you and ask that everything we do be done for your glory, both now and forever. And we ask that as you continue to pour your grace into our lives. May your Holy Spirit, present with us now, be made manifest as we give you all honor and all praise. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let us continue our praise of God. We're going to sing hymn 525. So if you'll take the pew hymnal, turn to hymn 525. Let's sing, "Here I Am, Lord."
I'm Our psalm reading this morning, which we will read responsively, is expressing confidence in God despite any trials, tribulations, or troubles. The psalmist is fully confident God's power and provision can overcome any obstacles. It reminds us that we need to grow in our trust of the Lord, to know that God is more than able to guide and bless our lives. Let us turn to Psalm 27, found on page 503 of the Pew Bible, and read this psalm responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Now we've heard the word of God, and it's told us that we can be most confident in the Lord, who is our stronghold and our fortress. And because we have that great privilege, let us lift our voices in praise as we stand and sing together to God the Gloria Patri. Be seated. Ephesians tells us to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. And as we pass the plates this morning, we should hear those words combined with Romans that also says, I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. With this in mind, let us give to God, knowing God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you.
Dear Lord, we give back to you in thankfulness what you have given to us in kindness. We acknowledge the world and its resources are not ours, but yours, and you have put us in charge as your trustees. Help us to exercise responsibly the authority you give us in your world. Let Jesus, your Son, be the pattern for all our dealings with one another and with the rest of creation. Bless the gifts we now present back to you so they may be used in the work of your kingdom on this earth. Amen.
You may be seated unless you're one of our young people. We've got Lexi up here. Lexi, thank you for being so faithful today. Yes, we got another good. I'm glad you're here too, because this is going to help me out with what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about Jesus. When he was starting his ministry, he wanted some people to follow him. And do you know who he went to first? Or at least who we're told he went to first? He went to some fishermen. We're going to talk about fishing today. I don't know if you've ever fished, but let me just tell you what he did. It says, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets, and they followed Jesus. As he went from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and Jesus called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. I want to talk to you about fishing for people. But first, let me talk to you. Have you ever been fishing? Ever? Yeah? No? Did you catch anything when you went? You don't know if you caught anything. Usually you know if something's on the end of the end of your line. Do you remember where you went? No? Okay. All right. Let me get y'all to do something here. Y'all just stay right there. I got to get out my supplies. Okay, I've got a fishing pole and a tackle box. And I'm going to leave that right there. Now, I've got some string. Okay. Got some string. Do y'all know what this is? It's called a bobber. And what it does is you put your fishing line through it. And when a fish down underneath the water bites on the hook, the bobber bounces up and down, lets you know that you've got a fish. So that's something that you can use fishing. And then, of course, the other thing you need to catch a fish is bait. And so this is what we call a lure. You put a hook in it, and because it looks like a fish, you can catch the bigger fish. So what I want you to do is pretend you get invited to go fishing out at Lake Sam Rayburn, because obviously to catch fish, you need to go where they are. But I want each of you to pick one of these three items, either the lure, the bobber, or the string. You want the string? Hallie, what would you like to pick? Okay, Hallie's going to take... It's kind of pretty, too. There's the bait. Okay. You know, when you go fishing, again, you need to go where the fish are. So you got to find a lake or a river or a stream. We're going to go to Sam Rayburn because it's a big lake. But when I go, I'm going to take the fishing pole, the rod, with the bobber, and with the bait. And this is what we call a tackle box. I have more hooks, more fishing line, and more bait in here So if we go fishing, who do you think is going to catch the most fish? You with the string, you with the bobber, or me with my fishing pole, lures, and tackle box? Why do you think I'm going to catch the most fish? See, I don't think you're going to catch much with a string. Have you ever tried catching a fish with just a string? You're not going to get very far. You've got a nice looking lure, but if you throw in the water, how are you going to get it back when a fish bites it? You're really not going to do too well because you're not well equipped. But Jesus called these people. He said, I want you to go catch people. And what he did, the reason they followed him, is so they could be equipped. They would learn where to go to catch people. And they would be equipped by God with all that they needed to do it. But there's one other thing you need when fishing. Does anybody out there know what's needed if you're out there fishing? Luck, all right? Yeah. And what if the luck isn't exactly present? What do you need? Patience. Who said that? Good answer, Kathy. She's probably fished before. You got to be patient because, you know, sometimes you can put the bait in the water. You got to wait. You got to wait for them to come. They may not be there right away, but if you are patient, you'll end up, if you're equipped, catching some fish. Now, Jesus wants you to be equipped, and he's going to give you his Holy Spirit. And he's not going to just give you like a rod and a reel. He's going to make sure that you're well supplied, that you got everything you need to catch people. And so you know what the disciples did? After they followed Jesus, and after they were equipped, after they learned where to go to find the people, and after they realized it would take patience to keep trying, they went out and they told people about Jesus. And because they caught so many people, the church started. Our church is here today because people went out and fished for other people. In other words, they told them about Jesus. They thought telling them about Jesus was the greatest thing they could do. And some of us got hooked. And that's why we're here today. So if you want to be one of Jesus' disciples, he says, hey, go find others and tell them about what it's like knowing me. Tell them what it's like having me in your life. Invite them to church and teach them about the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. I want you to think about one person that you could go to in the next 2 weeks and tell them about what it's like to have Jesus in your life. Do you think y'all could do that? Do you think y'all could do that? I hope so. Let's pray. God, thank you that you came and you cast oh so wide your net of love and caught us in it. Help us to go forth and do the same. Help us to win people to Jesus Christ for your sake, for your glory, for it is in you we do have our life and our salvation. Be with these lovely children, with Lexi and Hallie, and bless them, keep them, and may they share what they know of you with all their friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up and letting me teach you a little bit about fishing. You can keep the string and the lure. Compliments of coming forward. Or you can leave it here on the table if you want as a reminder that we are to fish for people. Let's sing our next hymn. Our next hymn is going to be hymn number 426. Lord, speak to me that I may speak. Let's stand and sing together hymn 426.
In Isaiah 56, the mention of the foreigner and the eunuch is referring to those who were viewed by God as being able to participate in the new thing God was promising to do. They were the outsiders, the outcasts, the excluded. Thankfully, God says they will not only be included in his work, but they shall be blessed also. It is a reminder of how faithful, deep, and wide is the love and welcome of our God. It should then be a trademark of God's church, the body of Christ. We should be those reaching out to the people forgotten, excluded, or on the margins, for God's love desires to reach everyone. I will read Isaiah 56, 1 through 8, found on page 686 of your Pew Bible, if you wish to follow along. Isaiah 56. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from this people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Marguerite were here, she would say, beautiful. Thank you, choir. I'm going to read now from John's Gospel, chapter 3, where we find out that one of the teachers of Judaism wants to go into the darkness of night and have a powwow with Jesus. He wants to know more. He comes seeking, and we'll see what Jesus offers. I'm going to read John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and we will hear about his encounter with Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it comes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One day, a father gave his son 50 cents and a dollar bill. And he said, "Son, what I want you to do is use the dollar for the offering at church, and then you can use the 50 cents afterwards to buy ice cream." Well, when church was over, the 50 cents was gone, and the son had the dollar. Father looked at his son and he said, "Why didn't you put the dollar in the offering plate like I told you to do?" And the boy looked at his dad and he said, "Well, you know, the preacher said God loves a cheerful giver, and I figured I could give 50 cents a lot more cheerfully than I could a dollar." You know, we just celebrated Christmas, which is the birth, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And in that gift of God's one and only Son, we learn that God gave us not just a gift, but God's very best. God gave us not just any gift, but God gave us God's most valuable. In the gift of his one and only Son, God gave us his all. Therefore, God could not give us any more. And after Jesus' birth, we're quickly drawn by John to Nicodemus and the encounter with the now fully grown and fully dedicated servant of God, Jesus. You know, we hear John 3:16 quoted all the time. When you hear John 3:16 quoted, I hope you don't think of Jesus going to die on a cross in order to appease an angry God. Because even though we've heard John 3:16 quoted so often, we need to remember that the verse tells us God so loved that he gave. God so loved the world that God gave. In an act of love, not anger, we are told, God planned this most valuable gift. Motivated by love to save us and freely invite us to be his people, God, in an act of incredible love, initiated the giving of his son. That verse that we hear all the time is letting us know that in the hugeness of God's loving generosity, God gave us his only son to overcome the hugeness of our depravity. Our sin was so incredibly great, but God's love was greater still, and so it gave. God so loved the world that he gave. We've heard it many a time, but it's telling us God is a giver. In fact, God's always been a giver. God gave us creation, a place where we could live and move and have our being. Into the darkness, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God gave light so that we could begin to see God's handiwork take place. In Genesis 2, it says that when God created us, God breathed his breath into us. And that is when we who were formed out of dirt came to life. But Genesis 2 is that picture of God giving us his breath, his life. God breathing into us his very spirit so that we could live. And so the very life we have is a gift from God. And you know, God didn't stop there. God gave Noah a way to escape the flood. God gave Abraham a promise that, when accepted, led to a whole new life of promise and blessing. God gave Sarah, a woman who was known to be barren, a woman who knew that there was no new life possible, God gave her the birth of a new child. God gave Joseph a vision. And many things occurred, as you know, that made Joseph's life difficult and hard. But all of those events were God's way of leading Joseph to a place of great power and purpose, where Joseph was able to not only save an entire nation, but his very own family as well. Despite his many trials, Joseph realized God gave him more than he could have ever hoped or imagined. I love that verse when his brothers come to him and Joseph reveals who he is to his brothers. And he said, "I don't want you to be afraid. God planned this moment. God gave us this opportunity," and Joseph used it for forgiveness. God gave the Hebrew slaves in Egypt freedom. God gave them protection from Pharaoh's attacking army. God gave those people a way when their backs were up to the ocean and their faces were seeing the fast approaching army. And after creating a way through the sea, when there seemed to be no possibility of a way forward, God then gave the people a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of smoke during the day for them to follow. In the wilderness, God gave the Israelites food and water when there wasn't any for miles and miles around. Along the way, God gave the people laws and ordinances so that they could live as godly people if they chose to do so. God gave the people a way to cross the Jordan River when it was flowing at its height. God gave them a way to defeat their enemies. God gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. God gave them a place where they could prosper as His people. God gave people like David the courage to face giants. God also gave David the ability to not only shepherd sheep, but the ability to lead God's people. God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom, to Samson the gift of strength, to Elijah the ability to defeat the false gods of Baal. To the prophets, God gave the ability to discern and speak God's plan and purpose for the world. When God's people strayed and were conquered by the Babylonians and later by the Persians, hauled off into slavery yet again, God gave salvation to all of them, even the ones that were considered beyond God's reach. God gave those prodigals a return home. To Mary and to Joseph and to the world, God gave a son. God didn't wait for us to repent. God didn't wait for us to ask Him to start giving. God did what God always does. In an act of incredibly generous love, God gave us His own Son. And while Jesus was here, He gave of Himself. Jesus gave to those in need, to the sick, the forgotten, the insignificant, the poor, the downtrodden. Jesus offered His time and His attention. He offered His strength to heal, and He gave the power of His love. Jesus gave the people hope. Jesus gave people lifted spirits and changed hearts. Jesus even gave people new lives. Just ask Lazarus. Jesus gave them renewed joy for following God as He went about pouring out His life. Going to the cross to do what we could not, which was conquer sin, Jesus was God giving sacrificially. Jesus was God giving when it hurt. Jesus was God giving when it was humiliating. Jesus was God giving His greatest and His all. Jesus on the cross was God giving in love while the world was giving Jesus, the Son of God, its very worst. But by taking our worst upon Himself, Jesus crucified sin and He left it there on a cross to die so we could live. And God's love wasn't done giving. Jesus rose from the grave to give us freely the victorious life that He had secured. Jesus gave us reassurance by appearing to many people, leaving behind a host of witnesses. God gave us a commission to continue His work. With this commission, God gave us the Holy Spirit so that, like Jesus, we would have all we needed to be faithful to the task. God's Holy Spirit gave the apostles the joy of pouring out their own lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. And others, as they received the Holy Spirit, the church was born. God's still giving His Holy Spirit to the church today. God gives His Spirit to soften hard hearts, to redeem broken lives, to fill that which is empty, to equip the saints for their divine purpose in the world. You know, today, just like we do pretty much every single Sunday, we sang the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And we do that because we recognize God's still giving. From our life in Christ to the hope of His promises, to our daily bread, to the ministry of reconciliation, God is still very much this very day a giver. God gave. God gives. Because that's what love does. It thinks not of itself, but focuses on lifting up others. With all that said, what I want you to think about is this. We're made in the image of God. Looking behind, beyond himself to all the world so many times over, God so loved the world that God gave. God so loves the world that God still gives, abundantly, mercifully, graciously, without condition, and we are made in the image of this giver. So when it comes to your God-given purpose in this world, remember, you are made in the image of the grand giver. I think that makes it clear what we're called to be and do while we are here. Amen. I'm going to pray for us, but what I would like to do is call us into our congregational meeting, and the first thing I would like to do is open it with prayer. So if you would, let's bow our heads and talk to the God who is such a wonderful giver. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son and the fact that he brings us all your unending, undying love. We ask that that love would fill our hearts and our minds and even our spirits so that we might not only know your will but continue to do it as we work together as your people. Continue to be revealed in our midst so that we might make you known to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want to do as we're in this congregational meeting is just move that Libby Stapleton be the clerk to take minutes of this meeting. Is there a second to that motion? There's a second. Thank you, Bill. The motion is to let Libby take the minutes. Is there a question about the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say yes. Any opposed say no. I would like to declare we do have a quorum, and so that is good on that end there. If you have, I hope you got. If you don't, on the way out, please get one. It's our annual report. And before we get into any details of it, this is really beautiful. It's really well done, and that's because of the hard work of Jean East. Each year, she has graciously volunteered to format, gather, edit, and put this all together in the printed form that you now have in our hands. And so I really like that it gives us a way of knowing or learning about what our committees do and where we're headed as a congregation. But to Jean, who's right over here, you can just wave. I think everybody knows you. But y'all get, and I was going to do that, but we'll include Sarah in that. Because when Jean puts it all together, Sarah then has the lovely task of printing it and making that it all gets stapled or binded or whatnot. So would y'all, to Jean and Sarah, give them a round of applause for putting together such a nice report. What I do want to do, there's reports from committees and descriptions and other things there. I want, because it's our main item of business, is if you'll look in the back, and we have our year-end financials, but if you'll turn to page 24 and 25, and what you have on page 24 and 25 is how we actually did for 2019. So you can look in that column and see, hey, how did we do for 2019? And then next to that, you see the column of the proposed budget based on how we did in 2019. Here's what we're proposing for 2020. So you can see what actually happened and then what we are proposing. Now, as it relates to what happened, one thing that I'm glad about is at least every year that I have been here, we have been slightly under the expenses or slightly over on income or both, so that we have always made budget. 2019 was yet another year which we achieved that. We had an unplanned gift at year end, which put us over on income. Very unexpected, but wonderful blessing. And we were just slightly under on expenses, so we came out ahead of the game. So that was good for 2019. When we were looking at our budget for 2020, the first few steps were a little unnerving because it looked like, based on pledges, because that's how we do the budget, we're not going to try and do more than what you pledge. You're the one that guide us on what we're going to be able to do. We looked at the pledges and it looked like we were going to be $24,000 short. It looked like we were going to have to cut some of our ministry. And the big question was going to be where. I talked to some folks about the shortfall, and those folks responded with generosity. They increased without question or hesitation their pledges. We not only got the $24,000, we got more than that. Just because of your generosity, just because of your response to the request. So when you look at what's proposed for 2020, you can see it's just slightly higher than what we did for 2019. So we're not only going to continue in our ministries without any cuts, we can actually do a little bit more. And that is thanks to you. And thanks to God working through you. So we have that there as our budget for 2020. I want you to know there's just a few salary increases. Sue Young is going to get a $448 increase. Debbie Haas, who's done incredible ministry and music, is going to get a $320 increase. And June, who is the best organist in town, and I'll say that any day of the week, $240 increase. And that's what we're doing on the church side of the budget. Now, I want to turn to you on the preschool budget, which is on page 26. Again, you have the actual, and then you have the proposed. Now, on the actual budget for 2019, we did do better than expected just because we did better on the income. And because of the increase in income, we had a better bottom line than anticipated. Now, we do have gifts, just so you'll know, that are of such magnitude that it offsets the deficit that the preschool would have without those generous gifts. But because we have them and they're committed for some years ahead, we're going to be increasing tuition each year so that we every year are able to get to where we're just a break-even entity in that regard. But the good news is 2019 we did better than we planned. And then for 2020, we have, and you'll see there, proposed a slight deficit, $6,439. We do have a fund which takes care of that shortfall. So that is what's going on there. On the salaries for the preschool, what we are asking for is it shows a $2,999 increase for Sandy. She has not received one in a few years simply because we're trying to tighten the expenses of the preschool and make gains on decreasing the deficit. But because she has been meeting our metrics, we did this year want to see to it that she got an increase. And so that's part of that budget. But anyway, if you look at that, are there any questions anybody has about the two proposed budgets, church-wise or preschool-wise? Okay. Then here's what I'd like to do. If those salary increases are okay, we can just have a motion that would receive the budget for the church and the budget for the preschool. The other way of handling it would be to just vote on the salary increases separately and then do another motion to approve it. But I leave that to y'all to either take one motion just to approve the budgets or we...
I'll make a motion that we vote for both budgets at the block.
Okay, Dave Franson has made a motion that we receive both budgets for the church and the preschool as submitted. Is there a second to the motion? Kip will second it. Is there any question either for or against the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say yes. Any opposed say no. Okay, well we have our budget and we are good to go on that. For our officers, we're going to put before you Libby Stapleton as clerk. And she has been our clerk for years and years and years and has always volunteered without hesitation. So I want to joyfully submit Libby's name as the officer for clerk. And then for treasurer, Kip Miller has graciously agreed to come on and assist us in that capacity as our treasurer. And I'm going to thank former people who held these offices and former elders in a minute. And then we will vote to have Ron Schaefer as incoming elder. He's already been ordained and served on session several times. He's coming on again and we'll install him if he is approved. Our beloved Marty Hauser was going to and willing to commit to a second term as elder, but as you know, even though his spirit is so willing, his body is not cooperating. And so we will come back to you later on filling what was going to be the term he had initially agreed to serve because of those changes recently. We'll just be putting Ron as elder. So I'd like to put before you Libby Stapleton as clerk, Kip Miller as treasurer, Ron Schaefer as elder. Is there a motion to approve them as our officers? Bill, is there a second? I know your name. Jace. Jace is the second. Sorry, Jace. Alzheimer's moment. Okay, is there a question about the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say yes and thank you. Any opposed say no. Okay, motion carries. We have our officers. I do want to say Marty's not here, and I wish that we could all thank him in person, and Shelley Davis also. They're the ones that will roll off session, and they did wonderful as elders of the church. So when you see them, thank them for the three-year terms that they completed. And then, of course, Sarah has been our treasurer for several years. And Sarah, we owe you a gratitude and thanks for the many, many ways in which you served as treasurer. And as you all know, we're going to say thank you to her and Bill for many things later on in February. But for now, thank you for... Is it okay to say we're indebted to our former treasurer? Anyway, okay. Well, with that said, what I want to do is install Ron so that he can begin his duty and his service as elder. He has already been ordained, but he does have to answer some constitutional questions from the Book of Order. And then once he does that, I'll have Libby and Kip come up. We'll lay hands on all of you guys and have a prayer. But Ron, would you come forward? I'm going to ask you some questions, which basically is a way of having you profess your faith and your commitment to serve. And if you would, just as a reminder of our baptism, which calls us to walk in newness of life where we serve the Lord our God, I'd like to ask you these questions. Let me get my reading glasses. This is small print, sorry. All right, we're good to go. Ron, do you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Acknowledge Him Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you?
Yes.
Do you accept the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal, in God's word to you? Do you?
Yes.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you? Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
Yes, I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you? Will you also, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you?
Yes.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you?
Yes.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? Finally, will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in the councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
Yes.
Well, to the congregation, you have heard Ron's profession of faith and his commitment. So I want to ask you this. Do we, the members of the church, accept Ron as a ruling elder chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we? Do we agree to pray for him, to encourage him, to respect his decisions, and to follow as he guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we? All right, Libby, Kip, what I'd like y'all to do is just stand in front of the communion table. Any of you, if you'd like, that has been ordained in the Presbyterian Church USA at any time, if you want to come forward and lay hands on them since they're being set apart for a special service, we'd like y'all, if you'll just stand there in front of the communion table, y'all lay your hands on them. Y'all get close like you like each other. There we go. Y'all come up and put some hands on. For the folks, if you stayed in your seat, if there's somebody next to you, just grab their hand to signify how we're all part of Christ's body, the church. And let us pray. God, we thank you that your hand is upon us all to uphold us, to guide us, to lead us. We're glad that your hand is upon us so that our hands can be used in your service. And thank you that we don't step into ministry alone, but that we do indeed have your Holy Spirit. All of us, whether we're an officer or not, all of us have the equipping of your Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for the gifts that you bring and the gifts that you so freely give. We thank you for all the talent that you've put into this congregation. But we ask a special blessing on Kip, on Ron, and upon Libby, that they could, with energy, imagination, thoughtfulness, and love, continue to lead this church in the direction you'd have it go. Bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine upon them. Answer them as they look to you for wisdom, for knowledge, for guidance, and for ways and opportunities in which we can further your ministry. And God, be with all of us in the congregation, that you would help us in our time of need. And in those times of blessing, help us to rejoice in how you take care of our lives. Receive them and receive us as we come to you now, praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Kip, Ron, Libby, congratulations and thank you. Yeah, thanks, Ron. Thanks, Kip. An objection, but if there is a motion to adjourn the congregational meeting, I'll take that motion. Okay, Bill moved, Kip seconded. Is there a question about going home? All right, all in favor, please say aye. Any opposed, say no. Okay, all right. We will adjourn, and what we're going to do is we're going to go out singing our closing hymn. It's there in the bulletin. The words are printed. Be strong in the Lord. Let's stand and sing that together as we go out. Say, if in the days ahead you're digesting more of the annual report and you ever have a question for a committee or for session, feel free to come and inquire. We want you to know how things go and how things work. But as you go, may the love of God and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, And the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be in you and with you now and forever. Amen.